crude battle.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Oil prices hit a three-month high in Singapore overnight, a little more than $72 a barrel. Traders are wagering on a recovery in the global economy and pickup for demand in oil. And in no place on earth is demand increasing as much as China. And now the Wall Street Journal reports a Chinese-run oil company may go toe-to-toe against ExxonMobil. Both are making bids for an oil field in West Africa. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
The target oil field in West Africa is one of the largest discoveries in recent years. ExxonMobil has bid $4 billion for a 23.5% stake. Now China wants to trump that bid and is reportedly partnering with the government of Ghana to make an offer. David Zweig teaches at the Hong Kong University for Science and Technology.
And China's saying, we'll help you do it. We got the cash. We'll bid with your national oil company against Exxon. It's pretty smart politics. I do think that this is really going to get the Americans angry and really raise their antenna.
Zweig says there hadn't been much direct competition between the U.S. and China for hydrocarbons until now. China's oil consumption has doubled the past decade. It's currently the number one new car market in the world. ExxonMobil, meanwhile, is trying to make its first major purchase in a decade. Its output fell last year and says it may not hit its goals this year either. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Checking overseas stocks. Right now, shares are up in Europe about 1%. Stocks were mixed in Asia today, however. In Tokyo, the Nikkei closed up nearly 2%. Hong Kong and Chinese shares were lower. There's little caution in Asia with earnings coming in this week from large U.S. companies. It was the best week on Wall Street in a month. The S&P and NASDAQ tacked on 4.5% each. For the week, the Dow jumped about 4%. It closed Friday at 98.64. A report by California Comptroller John Chang says Golden State revenue is still $1 billion short. That's despite what lawmakers and Governor Schwarzenegger expected when they reached a budget deal last summer, the biggest dip coming from income tax, down about 11%. While baseball's elite teams are still on the field, the Chicago Cubs are in court filing for bankruptcy. Today's Chapter 11 filing is supposed to give a clean slate to the team's new owners, the Ricketts family of the TD Ameritrade fortune. Reporter Joel Rose has more.
It's not that the Chicago Cubs are losing money. They're not. The Ricketts family is buying a majority stake in the team from the Tribune Company, which is also in bankruptcy. And Smith College economist Andrew Zimbalist says the family wants to be sure that all it's getting is the team, with no surprises.
There was some concern on the part of the Ricketts family that if the Cubs didn't separately go through this process, that somehow, somewhere, sometime, the Ricketts family would end up being liable for some of the debts of the Tribune Corporation.
The Ricketts family is paying a record $845 million for the Cubs, Wrigley Field, and other assets. The transaction is not structured as an outright sale. Instead, Tribune is holding on to 5% of the team. That's supposed to help the company avoid paying $300 million in capital gains taxes, though tax experts say the IRS may want to take a closer look at the deal. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by SunGard. SunGard Availability Services operates 5 million square feet of secure data center space dedicated to keeping people and information connected. More information at sunGard.com.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media. The British livestock industry has had a tough time this past decade. The business has been battered by a series of epidemics: mad cow, foot and mouth, blue tongue. But one small corner of the industry is flourishing. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard has met with Britain's youngest pig farmer, a 16-year-old schoolgirl from Western England, and he filed this report.
It's 6 a.m. Most of her school friends are still in bed, but Emma Chankey is hard at work, taking care of business. In a field not far from her home, Emma feeds her fast-growing herd of rare breed pigs.
I suppose it all started when I asked for two pigs for my birthday, which I think my parents thought was quite a strange request for a 14-year-old girl.
Her parents tried to put her off. To show her how messy it would be, they sent her on a pig-keeping course, with unforeseen results.
It made me more aware about how rare some of the breeds are, so I wanted to help preserve them. And the best way to do that was by farming them.
It's a business now?
Yes, definitely. And the whole family is now involved, so that's nice.
Emma now has 38 rare breed pigs, like Saddlebacks and Gloucester Old Spots. She claims they make delicious sausages, bacon and chops, much better than the average supermarket pork, so people are willing to pay a premium. She's now branched out into selling pig shelters and running her own pig-keeping course. A bit much for a 16-year-old, perhaps. Her dad, Pete, doesn't think so.
I think it's incredibly good for her. I mean, from a money-managing point of view, the amount of paperwork that goes into a business, I mean, it's certainly experience she will have that none of her school friends will have when it comes to being able to go in the employment market.
Come on, Acorn. Hello, Jimmy. Come on.
In spite of her obvious affection for the pigs, Emma has learned one of the first rules of business. Don't get sentimental about the stock.
What about when they go off for slaughter? Isn't that a bit of a wrench?
I suppose I'm used to it by now. I mean, I know they've had a wonderful life and looked after them and they've been happy and the meat tastes wonderful afterwards, so yeah, I suppose I'm used to it.
In Preston-on-Wye, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Feeling a bit skittish about shaking hands in this time of swine flu? Imagine if you're on a job interview. A business professor from the University of Iowa says the handshake is an important marker of personal interaction. Research, he says, shows potential employers might look at a prospect negatively if he or she withholds the handshake, even if it's in fear of catching the nasty H1N1 virus. His advice? Reschedule if you think the boss-to-be is sick. And if not, shake the hand and use a sanitizer. You could just be grasping victory. From Los Angeles, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.